Hi, this is Ernie Fazio, and this is Earnestly Speaking. And I'm talking to Steve DePass, and he is an entertainer, a songwriter, and he's also very politically astute. And we're talking about the situation with Donald Trump. And also we're getting into the Democratic Party problems, and we want to talk about that for a bit.
When we signed off, you were talking about Hillary.
Oh, Hillary. Yeah, we were talking about Hillary having problems. Now, one of the things that I've been saying all along is that I did not think that Hillary was the, she was the coronated person. And I'm saying to myself, somehow I don't feel it. I don't feel it. And you know what? And I had nothing to say. And this is long before any problems began to accrue. This is just because I don't know that the passion is there for her, and now we seem to have problems with the things, and some of them are real, and some of them are exaggerated.
Some of them are, pardon the pun, trumped up.
Well, yeah, and that is something that political people do. They try to find something to talk about, and even if it's meaningless, you can frame it in a way that it has meaning. But there might be meaning, too.
Explain to me, Ernie.
Yeah.
What happened originally, the big attack on Hillary, came when they attacked the embassy in Libya, right?
Yes. That went absolutely nowhere. I think it's pretty well accepted common knowledge that, the kind of mistakes that were made there were much larger than Hillary. They were probably institutional. And,
yes.
and I don't know that she could be considered culpable in that position, in the position she was in.
Her opponents blame her for the incident, saying that she had ample warning and was even petitioned to have greater security, and that...
Yeah, but you have to dismiss that because her opponents, blame the rain we had last week on her.
Right.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter the opponents can be listened to only to the point where they make a little bit of sense. They've been making not enough sense. And so, therefore, they're dismissed, even by the people who support the opposition to Hillary. But I want to talk about some other phenomena that's going on. As the cloud comes over the bright, sunny sky of Hillary, there's another cloud that's uncovering another sun. And that cloud is uncovering people like Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
And now,
I love Joe Biden.
Joe Biden is... I had the pleasure of meeting him once, and I think I told you about it. And he didn't know who I was from a hole in the wall. And he walked into a room where I was sitting and walked up behind me and put his hands on my shoulder and started talking to the people around the table. And I looked up as if to say, who is this guy? What's going on here? And I realized it was Joe Biden. And he came across as... one of the most sincere people, and he did all this sincerity with a sense of humor, a sense of humanity,
mm-hmm.
and a sense of connection. He felt like he connected with people in that room, and we felt it the same way.
Let me postulate a hypothesis to you, Ernie.
Yeah.
Is it conceivable that Hillary and Joe Biden could coalesce, come to an agreement, and run with Biden going for the presidency and Hillary accepting the vice presidency?
Ooh, that's an interesting thing. I don't know if the ego of Hillary would allow that to happen. And I think it would be a good thing to happen.
Good thing for the country.
For the country. And I think it would be good for the country because she would be the first, if Joe won, the first vice president that was a woman.
Right.
We did run a vice president.
Yeah, Geraldine Ferraro ran, but she ran with Mondale, and she didn't go very far.
Right.
Right?
Here's a situation where she could. You know, Joe is not a kid. He's 72, I think, right?
I mean, she's 70 and he's 72?
He's 72, and I think he's 72 or 71. And, you know, while he's in good health, he is of the age where your health could slip, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
he's had some health problems before.
Right. So
he had a couple of scares.
But if Hillary was the vice president, we would have the confidence that she'd be able to handle the job.
That's what I think would be an easier sell.
Yeah. And could that cooperation happen? Boy, that's a big speculation, and I'm not so sure it could.
I'd be all for it.
I think a lot of people would be all for it. A lot of people who don't want to commit themselves to Hillary right now would be all for it because they wouldn't have to abandon her.
Right. They would not have to abandon her. And besides, I think it's more winnable than Hillary with her. Or she's tainted, she's sullied, she's got problems and baggage, and that would diminish those things and the vice presidential role.
Of course, because the vice president obviously is less perused, you know, and less scrutinized. And
doesn't stop there.
No, but it could. That's the point. And if it did, we'd want to know that there was a lieutenant in charge that knew how to handle things. You know,
it would be the best for the country, but it would take such an act of magnanimity on the part of Hillary to acquiesce down to the second role.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I that's the exact sentiment that I was trying to present. It would be very difficult for that to happen. And
suppose you told her to do it.
She listens to me. By the way, you know, I met her too, and she knows who I am. But I remember at a LIA meeting where she was speaking, and I got up to ask a question, and before I opened my mouth, she says, "Hi, Ernie, how are you?"
Oh, good for her.
And I said, either somebody's whispering in her ear, or she remembers seeing me at different places. Anyway, but I said that didn't hurt my image too much, and
I'm sure that Marguerite has nothing to worry about.
No, Marguerite has nothing to worry about. Anyway, I think that I wanted to talk about Bernie Sanders too. Bernie Sanders,
I love him.
He's a purist. He's been saying the same. You know, somebody took the words that he said when he ran for mayor of Burlington. Do you know what the city of Burlington is like? It's probably
Burlington, Vermont.
Burlington, Vermont. He was the mayor of Burlington.
Oh now, gosh, that's 1,000 years ago.
Yeah. The things he was saying, he's saying now, he said then. It was all on tape. They put it on the television the other night. And he was talking about income disparity and doing things for people who are in the working class and making sure that, you know, we spend money on infrastructure. All of those things he's been saying right now, he's been saying since forever. Now, when he ran for the mayor, he ran as a socialist, which he still considers himself a socialist, and that was a very conservative town. And the guy who was mayor was a very conservative guy, and he ran against him. And you know what he did when he won? He called him up and said, "I want you to be my lieutenant and of city projects, helping business function in this town." And they became close friends. The guy's very old right now, and he said about a few weeks ago, Bernie is one of my closest friends. I think that's
what
phenomenal.
What amazes me about him is that everything that he predicted before we went into Iraq
was true.
It came out exactly as though he had written it afterwards.
Yeah.
But everything that he said, of course, Obama was also portentous, but this guy was absolutely uncanny. And how he described the void and the vacuum that was going to settle in and the breaking up of the military of Saddam's military and how that void would be filled in by people who would be insurrectionists, and we were going to have a bigger problem on our hands. And he talked about how false the accusations of the weapons of mass destruction and how our own inspectors were telling us over and over they did not have them.
Yeah, I want to talk about Bernie again in the last segment we're going to do. And we'll flesh out some of those ideas and how he fits into the whole picture of Hillary, Biden, and the Democratic Party, and how they're going to mount a campaign. So I think all of these factors are really, really important, and I want to talk to you more about that. This is Ernie Fazio. The show is Earnestly Speaking. I'm talking to Steve DePass. He is my friend and political guru today, and we'll be back in a few minutes. This is LI News Radio 103.9.